Proverbs chapter 30. You can remain standing. We'll read these verses and then we'll pray and you can be seated. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24. I would read Proverbs chapter 31, but she's sitting right there, third row back. All right, no. All right, here we go. I had to get a brownie point in there. All right, but Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24. I'll read it there. We'll read verses 24 through 28. The Bible says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her and with her hands and is in the king's palaces." Let's read verse number 24 again and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much, God, for the Bible. Just so many truths, so many nuggets, Lord, that you have given to us. And I just ask you, please help us as we unravel a truth that we can learn from tonight and from these little exceeding wise creatures. I ask you, please be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. I read this several years ago, and this really stuck out to me. These four creatures, Proverbs chapter 30 has several different lists. One of these lists talks about the things which are mighty upon the earth and are comely and going, like verse number 29. Then he talks about a different list there, the list that the Lord hates. But verse number 24 gives us a list. It's very interesting. And it's one of those things that I read, and I've read a lot. But I'm like, what does that really mean? Like, why would God take some time in the Bible to show us to show us these four creatures? And not only just show us these creatures, but he says something very special about these creatures. He says that they are exceeding wise. Exceeding wise. And we're going to look why they are exceeding wise, and we'll look at that here tonight. The Bible says there, look at verse number 25. We're going to get right in here to the introduction. I believe, you know, with creation, God has given us creation, which is amazing. Brother Steve Snow was telling me a story about him coming across some part of mountains. And man, he was trying to paint this beautiful picture of something that he saw. And he was trying. I was trying to picture it. I couldn't get it all the way, but he was trying to show, he was telling about a beautiful creation that God had. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they're all over the place right now on the West Coast. And she's sending pictures, just beautiful. She's over in the California Redwoods, and she's got pictures of just these crazy places. I don't even know where she's at, but she's all over the place. And man, it's just beautiful. God has given us creation not just to drive by and look at our speedometer as we drive down the road, but God has given us creation so that we can learn from it. God shows us very quickly here in this list that there are four creatures whereby we can learn some wisdom. There are four creatures here that are not just wise, but exceeding wise that we can learn from. Let's look here, verse number 25. The Bible says this, "The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." They prepare their meat in the summer. I don't know about you, but the first creature we're going to look at here tonight is the ants. The Bible says that the ants are a people, not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. What does that mean? If everybody's ever had a picnic, in Texas, I have to mention Texas for Brother Mailbush. He's been on me about Texas. But in Texas, we had these fire ants everywhere. It didn't matter where you were at, fire ants were everywhere. And most of the time, they built up these nice big mounds. And man, they can get pretty big. One time, I had a teacher in college. He was telling us about a story of he saw this big mound and he was mowing the grass. And so he had the bright idea. He was going to lift the mower up and plop it right down on that ant mound. The thing was, is the wind started picking up and they shot him out and it came right back all over him. So, these fire ants are no joke. I remember as a little kid, we were in Louisiana, and man, my cousin and I, we were playing and, you roughhousing a little bit, and he fell and tripped right into a fire ant pile. And within seconds, he was covered in fire ants. And man, by the time we got all of them knocked off and we hosed him down, man, he had bumps all over him. They act very quickly. Why? Because an ant only has a short amount of time that they can harvest. I don't see very many ants when the snow's out. I don't know about you. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us there's something that we can learn from the ants. The thing that we can learn from them is that they have great preparation. They are prepared in life. An ant understands that there are going to be trials. There's going to be a winter coming. And I have to work now. I have to prepare now for the battle that's ahead. You know, for us as Christians, it's very important for us to prepare. It's very important for us to be prepared. Man, I remember when we were having our first, when we were having Elaine. Man, we read, I don't know how many books on child rearing, right? And man, why? Because we wanted to be prepared. And still we weren't prepared. All right. But man, I remember even when I was getting married, man, I would ask people, hey, what's your go-to marriage book? And man, they would give me a book and I'd go try to find it and I'd read that book and apparently it didn't help either. But no. But what was I trying to do? I was trying to be prepared. Here's what we can learn from these ants. Number one is that we can be prepared. In life, we can be prepared. What happens so often is we live from one emergency to one emergency to one emergency. We wake up and all we're doing all day long, we feel like we're wore out because all we've done is put out fires all day long and we're not looking past the today. We're not looking past this week. We're not looking past this month even. All we are, we're just waking up and we're just trying to fight fires all day long. And at the end of the day, we are wore plumb out and we haven't accomplished much. But here's the thing. The Bible's saying from these ants, we can learn how to be prepared. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Many of you probably know this verse. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse number 6. Excuse me. Proverbs 6:6. The Bible says this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and what? And be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Here's the thing that God tells us. These ants are wise creatures. Why? Because they have a mind to work. The Bible says that they have no ruler or overseer. Nobody is sitting there, whipping an ant to get him in shape to make sure that he goes out and gets the biggest, juiciest watermelon that's out there. Nobody has that. These ants, instinctually, they prepare. Whether they know it or not, per se, they prepare. They are working constantly every day of their life to go out, to gather food, to make sure that the queen is happy, to build the ant pile that they have. They're trying so hard to continue on. And this preparation, God says that we can learn from. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. Here's what God tells us about preparation that we can learn from. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 3, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Look at verse number 13, same chapter. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. This slothful man knew that there was a lion in the streets, but yet the slothful man was so lazy, so slothful, they said, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to go out and I'm going to die. That's just how it is. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to keep walking into it. But you know what happens to us most of the time is we do the exact same thing. We know that there's troubles ahead. We know that there's going to be some testing coming our way, but we just walk into it blindly going, all right, if it's going to happen, what's going to happen? We'll be okay. But that's not what God's trying to teach us. The Bible says a prudent man foreseeth the evil. What is the word prudence? Prudence is looking ahead. There is a provision about it. What is provision? It means before vision. You're looking ahead to what could be happening. We have on our Christian school, we have verses, Bible verses that need to be memorized. And I've seen it so many times, from last school year, this school year, I'm not going to name any names. But man, when it comes Friday, the kids go, oh man, I don't have my Bible verses memorized. I don't want to get cut in a little bit early from lunch break, but I don't have my Bible verses memorized. I said, you've known about these verses at least since Monday, all right? You've had since Monday to today to work on these verses. And on Wednesday, we don't bring home any homework. But it's amazing what happens is there's no prudence. They're just, oh man, oh great, it's an emergency. I got to get these done today so I can get my full lunch break. But here's what we do as parents. What's about to happen in a couple months? Christmas. You know what we do? Oh man, I got to go buy some presents. Oh man, sister so-and-so, aunt so-and-so needs this, and uncle so-and-so needs this, and we've got to get this for the kids right now. And man, well, we don't have cash, we'll just go ahead and charge it to the credit card. What is that? That is not having prudence in your life. There are going to be problems that are going to come. There's life that happens. We have to be ready and prepared when that life comes. An ant colony that does not prepare in the summer is an ant colony that's dead in the winter. We have to understand that God has given us a brain to reason and say, hey, there's some problems coming up. Hey, if you've got a vehicle, you have problems. If you have a house, you are going to have problems. Prepare for those things. Prepare for those things. When growing up, the philosophy was, man, you would buy used tires. That's how you just survive. You know, hey, the tire goes out or it's too low. You've tried airing that thing up 100 times and it still goes down. All right, time for another new used tire. All right. And you go to that tire place, you pay $40 for a used tire. And then guess what? That one lasts for a little bit, but now your other used tire that you bought a couple months ago is going out. And then, man, all right, I need to go get another used tire. When I married Miss Katora, she had a whole different philosophy. She says, why don't we just save up money and buy brand new tires? Amen. Oh, well, why would you do that? I could get a used tire for $20 over here, honey. Yeah, that'll last for 2 months, all right? But what is that? That is using prudence. What are some things that are happening or are going to happen? If you have kids, guess what? Problems are going to come. Your kids are not just going to, oh man, they're going to be little for the rest of their life. It's not going to happen. They're going to be teenagers, and there's going to be trials that come with teenagers. What is a wise aunt? What is a wise person that prepares? Hey, why don't I find some people that have raised teenagers for the Lord? Why don't I learn some things from them? When I was in college, yes. When I was in my last year of college, this truth hit me very hard. I said, I'm about to leave college. And I have not learned the things that I really came to college to learn. And man, that last year of college, I was making sure I was spending as much time with people. Man, the bus director at the college, I was going out bus visiting with him. I was trying to pick his brain. There was the music director, the choir director. I was trying to pick their brain, trying to understand, hey, I'm about to face these things in my ministry, in my life. Would you help me prepare? Well, was I going to face them at that moment? No. But I'm preparing for the future. That's using prudence. We can learn from these ants a little bit of prudence. There's preparation. When the trials do come, do you have some go-to scripture that you can go to? Man, if you're feeling like the pressures of life are just crushing down on you, are you just going to sit and whine and complain about it? Or do you have something that you can go to? Do you have a close connection with the Lord? I meet with God, yes, because I need Him on a daily basis. But man, when those hard times come, I want to be on direct communication with the Lord. I want to be, they used to call it praying ground. I want to be close to the Lord. I want to be able to have that communication with God. And that takes some preparation in our life. What's the second thing we can learn? Look at verse number 26. The Bible says that the conies are but a feeble folk. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 26. The Bible says the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. They make their houses in the rocks. We understand from the ants, what is God wanting us to learn? I believe one of the things is for us to be prepared. Be prepared for life. What do we learn from the conies? A coney is a little creature that can grow to about 12 to 20 inches long, weigh about 9 to 11 pounds. I think Middle Eastern, they're called a hyrax or something like that. I'm just spitting out facts. I have no idea what it is. I looked at a picture of it. But here's the thing. They're small, and there is no aggressive weapons that they contain. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have big front paws to attack anything. The only weapon that they have is that they hide in the rocks. Their only refuge, their only means of protecting and defending themselves is not anything that they have, but it's the rocks to which they hide. Many of the animals that the predators cannot get to these rocks. They cannot either traverse the mountain or the mountainside that they rest in, but these rocks are a protection for these conies. Conies, the Bible says in Psalms 104, verse number 18, it says, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. What's so significant about these conies is that they have learned to gather protection from the Lord. What is so important? Why would God put these conies? They're small, 9 to 11 pounds. I mean, I've seen a cat here recently that was more than 11 pounds. All right, what's so special about these? They understood they're wise creatures because they have their protection in the rocks. Whereas us as Christians, what would we be wise from when we have our protection in the rock? Jesus Christ is the rock. The Bible tells us in a lot of passages here that God is the rock. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I hope nobody was watching me turn to the other way. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. These conies are wise creatures because they have their houses. They have their very dwelling places in the rocks. What does God tell us here? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not." Why? "For it was founded upon a rock." Here's what God's telling us here. He goes on later to tell about the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Here's the decision that we have in our life. Where is your protection? Who is your refuge in your life? When the storms come, when the battles start to face, where do you run to? Do you run to the rock, or do you try to run to what the world has to offer? Do you run to Jesus Christ, or do you try to run to your best friend, or try to run to your friend group compared to Jesus Christ? God has a refuge for us. The Bible says, I'd like for you to turn there, but for time we won't. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 22:3, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence." God up in heaven is your refuge. God up in heaven is the rock to which you can run to for protection. But so often we run in the opposite direction. So often our foundation on what we feel is secure is based on everything else except for Jesus Christ. If we base our foundation, our protection on the money we make, well, I have seen it so often how a job in just a day can end. How things can change so quickly. Well, my foundation is in this nest egg that I have in the stock market. Well, guess what? Stock market is going to go up. It's going to go down. And most often it's volatile. You don't know when it's going to do what. But here's the thing. If that is where your protection is rested in, then guess what? It's going to fall. If your protection, if your refuge is in man has let us down so much. I have let myself down so much. Why would I trust in man to keep me going? Why would I trust in man when the hard times come? I'm going to trust in this man. Well, this man has let me down. I'm not to trust in man. I'm to trust in God. God is our refuge. God is our rock. These conies were not wise because of their attack plans. They were not wise because they had the perfect, the Lord created them with a perfect amount of attack equipment. No, they were wise because they had their protection in the rocks. This was a rock, the Bible says there in Proverbs 30 that this is their home. The conies are a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Here's the thing, what happens to most Christians is we have our vacation spot in the rock. We have, when everything is going well, then I'm okay to visit the rock. Man, when everything is going okay, then that's when I can, when I have the time, when I have the free time, then I can go to God. But the Bible says that these conies lived in the rocks. Their permanent dwelling place was the rock. In our life, you know, what happens is and you're here on a Wednesday night, so I'm preaching to the choir on this one. But here's the thing, is most people, they look for everything in the world to help them. But they never seek God. They never go to God. And God has been there all the time waiting for them to come to him. And why were these conies wise? Because they had their protection in the rock. Let's look at the next creature here. Exceeding wise creature. Look at verse number 27. The Bible says that the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. Second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 10. And we're going to read about these locusts. A locust and a grasshopper are not too different. But there is something that happens in a locust. It's called the gregarious state is what happens. And these locusts get into this state where this hormone inside of them and inside the rest of the locusts around them starts to produce on threefold compared to what they normally have. And then they start getting into bands. And the destruction that a band of locusts can do is unmeasured. They will be able to wipe out fields. They'll be able to wipe out anything that they have their hands on. Let's look to see what the Bible says. Go with me to Exodus chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither of thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh." Look at verse number 12. The Bible says this, "And Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail had left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land that day, and all that day and all night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt and rested on all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so the land was darkened." Imagine how many locusts that would have to be. That's millions and billions of locusts that are there. Let's keep reading. Verse 15, "The land was darkened, and they did eat of every herb of the land, and the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt." Now think about that. Think about the destruction of these locusts. Now, the Bible tells us there in Proverbs chapter 30 that these locusts go in bands. Look back there, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 27. The Bible says this, "The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands." The amazing thing about these locusts is that they were a productive people when led by the Lord. These locusts were, again, these are bugs. These are just grasshoppers. I greatly remember when I was growing up, me and my brothers were poking at this gigantic grasshopper. We were little, so it may not have been that big. But man, this thing was huge. It was in our bathroom. And we were poking at this thing, of course, like little boys do, until my brother poked that grasshopper and it flew up and landed right on his forehead. It covered his entire face. And man, we did not play with grasshoppers after that. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that these locusts, imagine, you just read there in the Bible, that they came and every green thing that was on the tree was gone. Every green herb that was in the field, all gone by bugs. By bugs. These were productive. If you were to take one locust, you'd be able to handle a locust, right? You'd be able to squash it, step on it, spray it, whatever you need to do. But if the whole land was darkened, if we couldn't even get through the front door because of all the locusts, would we be able to handle all that? No. Here's what we need to pull from that part. As a Christian, honestly, by myself, I'm not very strong. By myself, I'm pretty worthless, okay? I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I've got mistakes. But together, when we as Christian people, when we as brothers and sisters in Christ band together, yes, we may be small, but we can be mighty through Jesus Christ. These locusts, led by God, were able to do great things, very, very grievous upon that earth in Egypt. But they banded together. That is what we need to learn here from these exceeding wise creatures, is these locusts were not afraid of unity. They were not afraid to be on the same page attacking a common enemy. Who is our common enemy? It's the devil. It's the devil. It's the antichrist that are in this world that try to bring down Christianity, try to attack the church. Those are the people to which we are to be fighting. Not amongst ourselves. Not a brother or a sister that we have. We are to be in unity with one another. The Bible tells us in Psalms 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Think of what could happen when we band together and have Jesus Christ as our King, not an earthly King, but we have Jesus Christ as our King. Think of what can be accomplished. Man, I saw a group of a little over 20 people on Monday do a great amount of work here at the church. I mean, we were busy bees. We were running all over the place. There were screens getting knocked out and windows being washed and unbroken, I don't think. We were rescuing kitties. We were knocking down weeds. We were getting everything done. Man, it was a lot of work that was happening. But man, honestly, other than Brother Barnes, you know, we're not a very strong people, right? But here's the thing, together, the unity part of this is what really sets Christianity apart. When we go out, I mentioned it in the announcement, when we go out on soul winning on Saturday as a group, man, there's just nothing like it. You know, every door that I knock on, are they going to get saved? No. But when I'm sitting there with a brother in Christ, and when we get in the van, and man, somebody got to talk to somebody, and somebody got saved, or man, they had a great visit. What does that do for me? Hey, man, we're on the same page. We're fighting the same enemy. Praise the Lord. We can rejoice together. Why is it so important that we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school? Why is it important? So that we band together in unity, attacking the devil. That is what's the importance here with these locusts. They can do great things together. Alone, all right, I'm going to squash you and be done with it. But together, they banded together and they were able to accomplish much for Jesus Christ. Let's look at the last thing here. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 28. This will be your last point here. We've talked about the ants, how they were a people that were prepared. We've talked about the conies, that their protection was in the Lord. We've talked about the locusts that were productive with together in unity. And then let's look at the last thing here. The Bible says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. All right, usually people have a fear either of spiders or of snakes. If you're a snake person, like you're scared of snakes. If you're scared of snakes, raise your hand. All right, put your hands down. If you're scared of spiders, raise your hand. Okay, a snake does not bother me. Okay, I like snakes. I grew up around snakes, and our next door neighbor had a big python, and they would feed it chickens. It was cool to watch live chickens. The chickens were running around, but I grew up around snakes. But the spider thing, I don't know how many times I'm walking in the dark, right into a spider web. And you know this thing is like 4 feet long and it's crawling all over my head. That's at least what I think it is. But that's what these spiders, you know, they may seem like, man, why would you build your web right there? Well, you know what the amazing thing with spiders is, they know how to position themselves for the most amount of food. They know, hey, I'm going to put a web right here because this is a high traffic area. I remember watching one time after work, there was a spider had built a web, beautiful web, right above a street light. And man, there was so many bugs in that net that the spider just gave up. I think it went on vacation. I don't know. But a spider, it knows how to position itself well. What can we learn from the spider? A spider is well positioned. I remember here recently, I was in my shed and there was a wasp in the shed and I smacked it down my hand and man, it landed right into a spider's nest or a spider's web. And man, that spider, it was tiny compared to that wasp, but man, it put up a fight. I was just sitting there just watching this thing for like 5 minutes as the spider would get closer, then the wasp would be flying all over the place. But man, that spider eventually did get a good meal. I saw the empty shell and the spider was good. And we won't go any further than that. But here's the thing. A spider is a well-positioned creature. What can we learn from this spider? Is that the spider, what does the Bible say? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is where? In the king's palaces. Let me ask you, where does a king live? In his palace, right? Where can we get a hold of God? In the presence of God, in the church of God, in our personal devotions with God, we can get close and position ourselves by the king. The spider here is the only creature that's mentioned that is solitary. We have the bands of locusts, you have the conies, plural, you have the ants that group together. Spiders work by themselves, they're solitary creatures. You know, the most that you grow as a Christian is not, you know, yes, it's good to be in church. I'm not downing church at all. But this is not really where you get your spiritual food at. Yes, you get some blessings. Yes, you can get encouragement. But your personal devotions with God far outweighs this. Yes, this is a part of it. Yes, this is where we come and we help and we serve. I want to be clear on that. But here's the thing. I don't want you to avoid your personal devotions for coming to church. Yes, I want you to come to church, but I don't want you to come to church, put on your spiritual face, and you're good to go. No, you have a spider shows us that it's important for us to position ourselves well by the King. By the King. When is the last time that we have positioned ourselves near the King? When's the last time that we have prayed to God? When's the last time that we have read His words? This spider, the Bible says there in verse number 28, it taketh hold with her hands. There's something that the spider has in the King's palaces. In the King's palaces. There's a couple things here I want to point out. A spider, the Bible tells us there, a spider was wise because she was in the best position to get something from the King. The spider wasn't going to get something from the King in the alley. The spider wasn't going to get something from the King somewhere else. But the spider was going to get something from the King in the King's palaces. Man, it's so important for us. Where are we? How close are we to the King? Where are we positioned in our life? Man, I think often, you know, why do we go to church? What's the importance of going to church? Just to check it off on our list and, oh, I went to church, check. All right, let me go ahead. I'll be done for the rest of the week. Or do we go to church to serve? Do we go to church ready, hungry for the Lord to fill us? I want you to take your Bible real quickly and go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. To the right a little bit. Closer to the New Testament there. Isaiah chapter 44. And I want you to look at verse number 3. Parents, this is a beautiful verse for you with children. But also for us as Christians, this verse applies to us as well. The Bible says here, Isaiah 44 verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and the floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Here's what God is telling us here. If we come to God expecting to receive something, we come to God hungry. We come to God thirsty. Man, it's amazing that the Lord says, I will give my spirit. I will pour waters on the dry ground. God is telling us as a promise, you come to me hungry, I will fill you. You come to me thirsty, I will give you drink from this everlasting fountain. It comes from God. But how often do we go to our personal devotions, slap the Bible down? All right, what am I supposed to read here? Okay, all right, check. Okay, all right, we're good. Or how often do we go to church and, okay, this is my seat. I'm going to sit in my seat. I'm wearing my Sunday best. Everybody look at me. I got my hair done for this. We're good to go. All right. Okay. We made church. We're good to go. That's not how it's supposed to work. We are supposed to come hungry. We are supposed to come thirsty so the Lord can fill us, so the Lord can give us what we need to survive. That is exactly what the spider tells us here as this exceeding wise creature. She's wise because she was in the best position to receive something from the King. Growing up in Texas, there was I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was some water ride. Everybody knows the water rides, right? You're in a log, they try to get you as high as possible, and then you splash down, Splash Mountain or something like that. But at Six Flags, you didn't really get wet when you were in the ride. The wettest that you got was on the bridge that you had to cross in order to get to the line. And man, my brothers and I, we were crazy, all right? And we would go down the Splash Mountain and we would run and try to stand in that bridge and just get soaked. I mean, we were drenched soaked. And man, the one that was the wettest, they won. And man, you're just constantly just getting wet. People are just looking at us like, hey, you guys are crazy. But we were in the best position to get wet. Are we in the best position to receive something from the Lord? Are we positioning ourselves? You know, it's very difficult to eat if you never go to the table. It's very difficult to get some food if you never go to the refrigerator. God is ready to fill us. God is ready to give us what we need, but yet, where are we positioned at? Are we positioned in front of the TV? Are we positioned in front of the junk food, fast food line? Or are we positioned where we can receive something from the King? Four creatures, exceeding wise. The ants, they were a prepared people. The conies were a protected people. The locusts were a productive people. And the spider here mentioned, was a spider that was well positioned near the King. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray here. Lord, I thank you so much, God, just for this opportunity to preach, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this study. Lord, these are four creatures that you have called exceeding wise. And God, we can learn something from them. We can learn from the creation around us. And God, I ask you, please help us to have learned something tonight. God, these ants are small. They're little. Every one of these creatures are tiny. They don't have any defense of their own. But yet together, Lord, they were able to do a great work for you. I ask you, please continue to bless us. Lord, help us as we try to prepare in our lives. Lord, help us not to live from one emergency to the next emergency. But Lord, help us to look for you. Help us to be positioned where we are safe and we have refuge in you. And Lord, I ask you, just please give us that unity that we so need here in our church. Lord, I don't want to have strife or contention. Lord, I want to be able to work together, to be able to do something for you. Lord, I know you want that. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I ask you, please bless the invitation now.